Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Yes, Lord, we know that your word tells us that you love us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son for each one of us. Oh, how thankful we are that God loves us completely, God loves us thoroughly. Now, Lord, today, would you speak to us in how we should respond to that love? Would you teach us? Would you show us? Would you clearly portray for us today how we should be loving you? Oh, God, we just pray that you'd open our minds and our hearts to this topic this day. Amen. Folks, this is Don Crisp and of the Good News Christian Ministries, and I want to just welcome you to the program today. If you wish to contact us, our mailing address, as usual, is the Good News Christian Ministries, found at Box 184. You can write us there, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. And I want to welcome you again to this message, and I've entitled this message, Do You Know How to Love God? Do you know how to love God? Now, I want to begin this message by asking a quick series of questions. First, do you know how to love? Boy, there's a good question for our society today, isn't it? When we think of relationships, do you know how to love? Do you know how to love God? Do you know how to love God the way God wants to be loved? Oh, what a great question. What a great question. Do you know how to love God the way God wants to be loved? Those are impact questions. Do you remember Rod Stewart? He sang these words years ago. Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above you? You filled my heart with gladness. Take away my sadness. Ease my troubles. That's what you do. Interesting, isn't it? I don't know whether he was singing that to God, but we could certainly baptize those words and it would have deep meaning. How many of us today would sing to God, speak to God, say to God, have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above you? You fill my heart with gladness, take away my sadness, ease my troubles. That's what you do. Yes, those are appropriate words. Let me ask again, do you know how to love God? Now, here's the truth. God created you, God created me, to love him in what I believe four ways, both in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and throughout the New Testament. Jesus adds the words by quoting Deuteronomy 6, which primarily is the prayer called the Shema. And this is what it basically says, that we're to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength. We were created to love God in four ways. We are to love him with our hearts, our soul. That means our mind and our, it's a combination of our minds and our strength. From a psychological advantage, what it means is this. We were created to love God with our hearts. That's our affections, with all our emotions, with our soul. We're to love him with our personality, who we are, how we are. We're to love him the way we were designed to be, with our personality. And we're to love him with our mind, with our thoughts. May our thoughts be on how to please God. And we're to love him with our strength. That means our resources. What a challenge. Do you know how to love God the way he wants to be loved? Gary Chapman wrote about the five love languages, and he mentioned the five love languages are time and words of affirmation, acts of service, touch, and gifts. And as we look at our relationships in our marriages or with people that we're in a relationship with, we realize that most people have two primary love languages. Someone says to their partner, if you want to tell me you love me, then give me your time. I need to spend time with you. Others need to hear words of affirmation. Others need to, their love language is they love to see you take out that vacuum and vacuum, or to do the dishes, or to do the laundry, do things. Others are touch. They want to hold hands. They want to hug. And others, it's about gifts. I want to suggest to you today that God loves you I want to suggest to you today that God loves you completely. I want to suggest to you today that there's nothing that you can do to make God love you more. And the question is, how can we love him? In this message today, I'm going to suggest that those five love languages are God's love languages as well. We'll come back to that in a few moments. But first, let's go to Scripture. Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 to 30. Jesus says these words, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden, it is light." Now, for those of us who don't know what a yoke is, you haven't been around oxen or on a farm, we understand that it's two oxen. We have this picture of two oxen being yoked together with a device that holds them together so that they move together, they flow together, they harmonize together as they move. Both are trained to respond to the same commands in the same manner at the same moment, so that when they're joined together, they are in fact yoked together, they are a team. Do you see it? Can you picture it? It's a picture of being yoked together with Christ in love. It's a picture of being yoked together with your spouse in love. The two of you should flow together. The Bible says the two become one. Not which one, but together. Each person's strength covers for the other person's weaknesses. Now, being yoked has, in my mind, three pictures. It's a picture of connection. It's a picture of direction. It's a picture of cooperation. In the picture of connection, we can hear Jesus say, be with me or come to me. You see, yokes are made for two, not one. We were not meant to go through life apart living from God. His yoke fits well, and it's lighter than the one we've been pulling all by ourselves. And Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So we need to come to him and be connected with him. Secondly, yoked together pictures a sense of direction. Jesus throughout Scripture says, follow me, or move with me. As I move, you move. And you can only do that if you're yoked with him. The idea of a yoke pictures the forward motion of two connected together. When he moves forward, you move with him. When he stops, you stop. If he turns to the right, you follow, and so forth. You cannot be yoked to Jesus and go your own way anymore. We follow him, and it's a direction for our lives. Are you connected? Are you going the same direction? Thirdly, being yoked together is a picture of cooperation. Jesus says, work with me. To be yoked together means that we cooperate with his work, we surrender to his will. We cooperate with his work, and we surrender to his will. He's the one who decides what pace we move, what direction we move in. We're connected with him. We're directed by him, and we're in cooperation with him. Now, we are joined to his work, and we discover that our lives can have an eternal impact if we're moving with him, and we can experience that only when we are in obedience to him. You know, the famous atheist Friedrich Nietzsche, who coined the phrase, God is dead, he also once said, assert yourself. In fact, he went on and said, assert yourself. Care for nothing except yourself. The only vice in life is weakness, and the only virtue is strength. Be strong. Be a Superman. The world is yours if you work hard enough for it. Well, Stalin and Hitler bought that concept, and under Stalin, 20 million people died. Under Hitler, 10 million people died. It really is a picture of someone who wants to be in complete power, and it's not about anyone else. It's about themselves. It really encapsulates the whole picture of the meism world that we live in today. And yet, in contrast to Friedrich Nietzsche's words, we have the words of Jesus. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, the world today, they define meek as weak, and it doesn't mean that at all. The reality is, the word meek in the Greek means domesticated. It's like a horse being broken. You don't break his spirit. You break him so that he's domesticated, so that he learns how to be, to follow directions, so that he is connected with its rider and cooperates with its owner. And so it is with each one of us. You know, these two different ideas of Nietzsche's and Jesus are in contrast. Although the first words are from the atheist, the last quote, the teachings of Jesus, is from the Lord himself, the one who gives us our directions on how to live. It's not just a philosophy, people. It's a mandate for living. He says, Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The promise is that there will be rest for the stressed. I love that. Rest for the stressed. You remember back years ago, Time Magazine, this is back in the 1960s, for those who are old enough to remember that far back, Time Magazine had an expert testimony, was given to a Senate subcommittee, and it was on time management. They predicted that advances in technology, and we certainly are in the age of technology today, that advances in technology would radically change how many hours a week people worked. Did you know that they forecasted that the average North American, this is in the 1960s, the average North American in 20 years would be working approximately 22 hours a week? So they were forecasting that in the mid-80s that the average number of weeks that we'd be working would be, a number of hours we'd be working per week would be about 22. The great challenge, they said, would be figuring out what to do with the excess time. Well, just take a moment now. It's been 40 years since they stated that and that report was released. Let me ask you, how are you doing with all the extra time you have in your life? Is it true? Or do we need to return to the words of Jesus and realize that he's the only one who provides rest for the stressed? Our world has become the world of the Red Queen of Alice in Wonderland, has it not? She said, now here you see it takes all the running you can do just to keep in the same place. Doesn't that a picture of the world today? If you want to get somewhere else, you must run at least twice as fast in order to get there. Folks, the truth is there is rest for the stress when we are yoked together with Jesus Christ. And it's when we're yoked together with Jesus Christ that we learn how to love God as he teaches us how to love each other. The Bible teaches us that there are four factors when it comes to knowing, when it comes to loving God. Factors that we need to know, factors that we need to practice. There is a way to love God the way God wants to be loved. Are you ready for it? Here we go. Number one, loving God means obeying God. Well, you know, obeying God's a funny thing. It depends on how you obey God, whether that actually gets determined as true love. What I mean by that is this. There's a duty-based obedience. There's a fear-based obedience. I don't think that's loving God, either one of those. And then there's an affection-based obedience, an adoration-based obedience. That's love. Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. He goes on and says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. John 14:21. The motivating factor is love. If anyone loves me, he says, he will obey my teaching. John 14:23. Here it is. In the Old Testament says, obedience is better than sacrifice. You see, obedience is a picture of love. 1 Samuel 15:22. Yes, the first factor for those who are choosing to love God the way he wants to be loved is obedience. Secondly, loving God involves trusting God. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God is everlasting strength. That's what Isaiah said, Isaiah 26:3. Also, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, loving God the way he wants to be loved means saying to God, Lord, I trust you. I entrust my life to you, and I trust you to lead, guide, and provide for me. Number three, loving God requires loyalty to his truth. John 17:17 says, your word, O Lord, is truth. John 8:32 says, and the truth will set you free. John 18:37 says, the reason I was born, the reason I came into the world was to testify to the truth. That's the words of the Lord Jesus. Yes, loving God means obeying God. It means trusting God. It means being loyal to his truth. It means believing that his truth is actually true, even though the world may say, I don't think so. Number four, loving God includes a consuming desire to live for him. It's almost like a lovesick abandonment to God, being focused on him. If you want to be OCD, let's be OCD for God. Let's be compassionate. Let's be driven with a purpose and how we can love God and please God in all that we do. There are four words in the Greek that describe love. Storge, it means feeling safe and secure. Phileo means a friend. It's a friendship love. Epithymia means a non-sexual intimacy. Might I mentioned to you that if there's no integrity in one's life, then there's no intimacy with God. Agape is unconditional love, an unconditional loyalty. Yes, our love for God must involve, let me put it this way. God's love for us is a love that makes us know and feel safe. We know that we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We know that this is true intimacy, and indeed, this is unconditional love. I believe God wants us to love him equally. Very difficult to do, but that must be where the bar is. There are four, again, spheres of love. If we're going to love God, trust God, be loyal to his truth, and have a consuming desire, then we need to be focused to love him the way he wants to be loved. St. Augustine gave an interesting advice concerning loving God. He said, love God, then do as you please. Really? Well, actually, that's what the world looks like today. That's what modern-day Christianity looks like today. Love God, and then just do as you please. Loving God means being yoked together with him, and not just doing as you please, but do what pleases him. Let's come back to those five love languages: time, words of affirmation, service, touch, and gifts. Loving God the way he wants to be loved means this. It means saying to him and giving to him all your time. Lord, my time is your time. It means giving him words of affirmation. In fact, the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. It means committing yourself to serve him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Yes, it means serving God in whatever way he needs to be served, whatever place he puts you in so that you can serve. It means touching the heart of God. Do you know how to touch the heart of God? He certainly knows how to touch your heart. It means touching the heart of God, to put a smile on his face when he looks and says, yes, now that pleases me. And it means gifts, giving him gifts, not just your tithes and your offerings, but the gift of you, the gift of your heart, the gift of your life, the gift of all that you are. After all, he's the one who gave us the gift of breath. He gave us the gift of air. He gave us the gift of life. He gave us the gift of being born again, being saved because of what Jesus did when he went to the cross and demonstrated his own love for us. Yeah, we need to demonstrate our love to him in those five ways. There's the bar. It's been set. Why is it important to love God? I believe so because as we look at modern society, it's important to realize that a society without God is a society that's in decline. Dr. Carl Zimmerman wrote a very important book called Family and Civilization. The book was a result of research that had been done over a span of 3,000 years of family life as he researched this. Now, Dr. Zimmerman, a Harvard professor, made a powerful case for traditional family structure. The conclusion of his book could be summed up like this: as go the children, so goes the culture. As go the family, so goes society. Let me say that again. As go the children, so goes the culture. Boy, we look at our children today. How's our culture doing, folks? As goes the family, so goes society. Yeah, as we look at that, we can see what Dr. Zimmerman's talking about. As a matter of fact, Carl Zimmerman gives seven indicators when a culture is in decline. According to history, culture that is in decline are characterized by seven factors. Here they are. Are you ready? And it's really up to us as individuals to decide whether our culture today, our society today, is on the decline. Are we trying to live life without God? Have we just not come to terms with how to love God the way he wants to be loved? Well, we can look at the society and see whether we're in decline. Let's see, first of all, whether we are. This is what he said. First, the indicator is there's an increase in the rate of divorce. Well, I don't think we need to debate about that in our culture. We know exactly what's going on. Secondly, there's a lack of commitment to the permanence of marriage. Well, you know, it used to be for as long as we both shall live. Now it's for as long as we both shall love. And therefore we see people bailing out of marriages, I believe, far too soon. Now, there are some cases where, you know what, if there's abuse, or we understand that. But the reality is no one can defend the divorce rate today. Number three, redefining the meaning of family as a solution to the social problems. Redefining the meaning, that's a society that's in decline. Number four, lack of respect for paternal authority. Now, to me, we all ought to be saying amen. You know, parents have lost their authority. They've lost their power. The government has taken over. We can't say anything. We can't do anything. We've lost the respect for parental authority. The way that children nowadays, our youth nowadays, just show complete disrespect for their parents. Shameful. Promotion, number five, of cohabitation over marriage. As we look at people living together and trying it out and hoping one day they might get married or not caring whether they do. That the society that does that's in decline. What a picture. Number six, lack of inhibition concerning adultery. As we look today about how many people are saying, well, I'm wanting to enhance my marriage by having an affair and committing adultery. My word. We're beginning to, as we look around us, we live now in an amoral society. And finally, number seven, acceptance of all forms of sexuality. Now, those are Dr. Zimmerman's words. Isn't it interesting, though, that Dr. Zimmerman was a secular historian, and he never confessed to be a Christian, and again, it's interesting as well to note that he published his research in the year, are you ready for this? 1947. Boy, 1947. He said all of that. He described, I believe, the world in which we're living in today. You know, there's an old saying, if a person doesn't stand for something, they'll fall for anything. I think that's exactly what's happened in our culture. We need to love God with a purpose-driven passion. A purpose-driven passion will cause us, it'll change us, it'll change our family life, our church life, the life of our society. It will change the world. We need to choose today to love Him with all our hearts, our souls, our minds, our strengths. My question is, will you choose to give Him your time, your words of affirmation, your service? Learn how to touch God. Learn how to give yourself to God, your heart, your life, your all. Will you today choose to follow Him, obey Him, trust Him, stay loyal to Him, and seek to please Him? And now would you today choose to pray with me? Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for loving me first. Thank You for loving us first. Thank You for the cross. And we thank You for the privilege that is ours in loving You in response. Continue to show us day by day, Lord, how to love You the way You want to be loved. Amen. Folks, once again, I want to thank you for your prayerful attention, your prayerful and financial support of this radio ministry. You know, we're in a new year already. It's hard to believe, but, you know, we do need your prayer support, and we need your financial support as well. Again, I want to make sure that you honor your commitment to your home church first, and then after that, please stop, think, and pray, and see if God is leading you to support the Good News Christian Ministries. And if He is, would you make a check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries? Send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. It's interesting. You're probably thinking, well, isn't it wonderful that people are doing that and supporting this program so I can listen? The fact is, you know, we don't receive any money for doing what we do on the radio here. I'm not receiving a salary or honorarium or anything like that. And the fact is that we need everyone to contribute in order to keep us on the air. This is not a 9/11 call. It is simply me saying we need everybody participating, and I invite you to participate. You know what? I hope that you will contact me at don.thegoodnews@gmail.com with any comments that you might have. Please encourage others to listen to this radio ministry. You can listen to this ministry each Sunday at 6:30 a.m. on CFRA or on Rogers Cable 927 or online at CFRA.com or even go to our website, Good News Christian Ministries, and click on broadcast. Now, my friends, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross, a church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life, a church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from its principles and precepts and promises that are found within it. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that You would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of You. We pray that You would empower us to live for You, bringing honor and glory to Your name. Teach us, Father, how to love You the way You want to be loved. And now, my friends, may God bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, love, and truth. Amen. My friends, I thank you for this program, listening today, and I want us now to listen to the song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. And this is from the Hillsong, I Believe the Promise CD. God bless you.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.